Well, I hope you had a blessed day yesterday and yesterday evening and this morning, and that the rest of your life will be blessed as well. Amen? We all want blessings through life, right? People enjoy good things, positive things, good news. Today's another great day. We've been granted to worship God. It's Lord's Day, Sunday. And we have this special time that we gather. And in a sense, it's a special day because we get to worship Jesus on His designated birthday. Amen? We've already had some comments and thoughts about that. The arrival of Jesus, the Son of God, is good news. It is good news for everybody in the world, especially for the Duke City. Here we are living in Albuquerque area, South Valley, but Albuquerque area, the Duke City. The significance of the arrival of Jesus Christ needs to be understood by everybody. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand the true message about Jesus Christ. Communication of the right message is an important part of our human relationships. Each week, we have a few moments where we have the announcements at the beginning of our service. And when I was in high school, I don't know about your high school, but during an announcement that kind of went over the high school intercom, we even had a Bible verse read for the day by our student body chaplain. I doubt that happens in very many schools today, but that's what occurred in the school in my younger days. In church camps that I've been working in past decades, we had announcements during the different parts of the camp. And we even had a little song that went along with that. I don't know how many of you know what the announcement song. Announcements, announcements, announcements. A terrible death to die, a terrible death to die, a terrible death to be talked to death, a terrible death to die. You know, we'd sing that right before the announcements. Have to listen to the announcements. Okay. Well, those announcements were critical and important. One of my favorite Western heroes is John Wayne, along with a few others. I enjoy watching those movies, except for certain parts of the language and so on sometimes. But anyway, I know that John Wayne was quite often referred to as the Duke. And you know that many of his movies dealt with cowboy themes, and a lot of those movies dealt with New Mexico. And I thought that since it dealt with New Mexico, it must, the city of Albuquerque must have gotten its name Duke City because of the influence of John Wayne. Well, I was doing a little bit of research for this message, and I found out that I was way off base. I was misinformed. I assumed the wrong thing. Comes to find out that Albuquerque was named by the Spanish governor over the region in honor of the Spanish Duke who was in charge of this region. I found out that you guys are missing an R. I guess I got it in my name, my last name anyway. And in Spain, there's a city named Albuquerque. And the city was named after that city, which was run by this particular Duke. I found out later on that you had a baseball team back when Mr. Ed was just a young, spry guy. Well, maybe a few years before him. 1915, you had an organized baseball game, a team named the Albuquerque Dukes, and they finally sprang into real life back in the 70s and 80s and got the city on the map, and so that's how the city got the name the Duke City. That's what Google says. Now, how accurate Google is, you can correct me after church, okay? Anyway, but there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misinformation based on assumptions, and I was guilty of that regarding the Duke City. Many people around us think that they know everything about Christmas. But many people are basing their knowledge on assumptions and on lies. A lot of people think that Christmas is just about getting presents. It's just about the Christmas rush. It's about getting family together. And they totally miss the basis of what Christmas is all about. They are missing critical information that will give them life. Not life for one day, but life for how long? Eternity. We need to give others the true message of Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming to us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you and praise you that you have given us your record, the written record that records all the information necessary for us to get our life straightened out with you. All the necessary information for us to get along with each other. And all the necessary information for us to prepare for an eternal life. Father, we thank you for these texts of Scripture. And as we review just a small portion of your word today, we ask for your inspiration, your correction, your instruction, your guidance in your truth. Help us to be inspired, encouraged, and motivated to share this message with other people around us so that they too may have life forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is, it comes from a passage that we have probably heard maybe two or three times or four or five or a dozen in the last week. But it is an important one that I want to deal with. Good news for the Duke City. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17 reads as following. This is the New American Standard Translation. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Good news for the Duke City, good news for the world. Let's look at some points. I've got four different points, main points that I want to deal with. First of all, the message of the angels was personal. It was a personal message. "For unto you," to you, to you. Over and over again, the angels were speaking to the shepherds. The shepherds were not the most welcome people in society, but God's angels announced the arrival of the Savior for them. They weren't the common worker. They were the common worker out there working in the fields, working the everyday jobs, struggling with the threat of wild animals, with thieves, with bad weather, with just trying to live, trying to survive, and more. And they were tough and they were smelly due to their occupation. And yet God's angels spoke to who? To them. And said, "Unto you is born the Savior." The shepherds were terribly frightened, terrified by the appearance of the angel, the first angel, the brilliant light that surrounded them. Now, I've mentioned this before, the last thing you expect when you're out in the boonies, sitting in the middle of a field in the middle of a night, how many of you expect to see an angel suddenly appear to you? I mean, that just doesn't happen every day, right? And here, all of a sudden, boom, there he is. And then on top of that, a heavenly host on top of that. I think I'd be a little scared myself. I'd be scared speechless, you know, just whoa, okay. The shepherds carefully listened to this message that was given to them, and their full attention was given to this breathtaking event. I mean, when you've got God's angels showing up to you, you better be listening, because they've got important messages. The message was about their long-awaited Messiah. They were aware of the Messiah. They were familiar with the stories. That was the hope of Israel. That was what the nation had been working for and waiting for and suffering for through generations. And the fulfillment of all the prophecies, yeah, they were out on the hillside sitting with the sheep, and they didn't get to the temple that often, but they knew the stories. They were familiar with the prophecies. And then to have the heavenly host jump out behind the one angel that had already taken their breath away and announce and give glory to God, this proclamation sealed the event in their hearts and in their minds. This was important information. It was worth listening to and paying attention to and obeying. Even after 20 centuries, the message is still personal. Jesus Christ said, "I come that you might have life." Who was he talking to? He was talking to all people, us included, and everyone who lives today. Jesus came that we might have life. And how much? Just a little bit? Just enough for today? No, that we might have abundant life, eternal life. That is a blessing. The apostles were sent into the world with this message. They were commissioned, and they started the snowball effect of passing the good news along to all people. And we have been blessed to receive this message of eternal life, and it is still good for all people, and we need to continue to pass on this good news. Every bit of good news is welcome, and people appreciate good news. In 1928, English bacteriologist Alexander Fleming was conducting an experiment in his laboratory, and part of his experiment was being destroyed by mold. Now, when your experiments go on haywire, you get a little upset, right? You ladies who like to bake cakes and stuff, you get a little upset if something goes wrong with your recipe. You guys that are working on a project, if it's not working right, you get a little upset. And so this bacteriologist started studying and looking at it a little bit closer. After investigation, he found out the mold revealed a substance that became known as penicillin. And as the word spread, this discovery was what? It was good news that quickly spread that there is something that can help us overcome sickness. And how many of you had a penicillin derivative or maybe penicillin itself? It is very helpful. We are thankful for that discovery. It was good news for individuals all over the world. Now, was it made for government? It doesn't do government any good. It's good for individuals, and it's good for nations. And that is good news. The Savior coming into the world is personally good news for every individual, but they have to receive that message. The second point I want to deal with is the angel's message was universal. It was for how many people? All the people. All the people. There are several things in life that I am glad that I do not have to participate in, that I do not have to receive, that I do not have to do. But I am so glad that the message of salvation is available for me, for you, and for all people. This is good news for everybody. The message of the gospel has both a personal and a universal impact. though the Savior may transform you, there's no guarantee that it's going to affect the neighbors that you live next to, or the entire city, or the entire state, or the nation. On the other hand, a nation or a community that follows the gospel, they benefit, but you may not benefit if you do not apply the principles yourself. But it is available if you would just listen. The message is for all people. It's universal if we will submit to the Lord. And we are so blessed in America, the United States of America, to have founders who began our country on Christian principles. It's up to us to maintain those and encourage our fellow citizens to participate in those principles that gave us so many blessings. The Savior destroys our ethnic pride. Here we are gathered from different ethnic backgrounds, and yet there's so much tension in our world today over ethnicity, our cultural background. Jesus destroys that ethnic pride. There is only one master, Jesus, and all of us who follow him are made equal heirs. We are one body in Jesus Christ. Amen? And the world needs this message. Our community needs this message that there is salvation. All of us are descended from Adam and Eve. We are all made in God's image, and we all can benefit together if we make Jesus Lord. Salvation for all makes us humble. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we serve him, when we obey him, when we put his teachings into practice. However, the scripture warns us that there will be no forgiveness of our sin if we don't repent. Repentance is necessary for every single one of us. We have to change our ways to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in order for him to be willing to forgive our sin. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those have caused us problems. And so we need to encourage each other, walk with each other, build each other up, and strengthen each other in these teachings of Jesus so that we may have the full blessing of life with Jesus and God the Father forever. Salvation for all makes us evangelistic. As God's children, we grow in love because we want to be like Daddy. We want to be like our Father in heaven. And his transforming power, his Spirit working in us, makes us a loving people. Now, if we're not a loving people, that means that one thing, we haven't made God our Father. And so we need to be a people of love, reaching out and living the love that was displayed like Jesus Christ displayed, even loving our enemies. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it? It's hard when somebody is opposing you, when they're causing you grief, when you're causing problems, to love them. And yet Jesus loved those around him, all of us. Who caused him to go to the cross? We did. Now, if you guys lived all your life perfectly, my sin sent him to the cross. But if we're all honest about it, as the scripture calls us to be, how many of us have sin? All of us. We all sent Jesus to the cross. And so, if God was good to us, shouldn't we want others to find the good news as well? That will cause us to be evangelistic. We've been redeemed, and we want everyone to enjoy it because the good news is for all people. The angel's message was timely. For unto you a Savior is born today. And we celebrate his birthday when? Today. This is a message for all of Albuquerque. We should have a packed house. And it's heartbreaking to see that so many don't have time for Jesus. They're too busy doing other stuff. We retell the Christmas story to draw our soul to the manger, to try to put ourselves in the shoes or in the sandals or in the bare feet of those shepherds, of the community, of those who saw Jesus with their own eyes. We use multiple means of imagining being presented to the birth of the Savior. We use the retelling of the scriptures. We use poems. We use skits. We use music. We take time to reflect. But our soul desires to be reunited with our Creator. Every person has that special emptiness in their life for only God to fit in. The question is, the challenge is we try to fit everything else in that vacancy. We try to substitute other things for God, for Jesus, for our Savior. And it doesn't work. And our world and we need to remember to always keep God in the center of our life, for our life to be working correctly, to be pleasing to the one who actually makes us and gives us every breath that we have. Our Savior came in a timely fashion, and he has life for us. He gives us life right now. The Creator is sustaining us, holding us together until he comes back into this world to do what? To make us new and perfect. The burdens of Israel were lifted as God kept his promise of salvation for the people during their lifetime. Our burdens can still be lifted today by the power of God. God wasn't just the God of the first century. God is the God of eternity. And God can lift our burdens as we realize he kept all of his promises of sending the promised Messiah, the Almighty Savior of all. The salvation of God touches us today. All of you who made Jesus your master are saved when? Today. You have his Spirit within you helping you when? Today, right now. Jesus is pleading for your well-being at God's throne when? Today, right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Today. And tomorrow, what will it be? Today? All the time, we have a Savior that is with us now. A timely Savior. Every uncommitted sinner is still invited to accept Jesus Christ right now. The blood of Jesus was shed for every sin, but every person must submit their life to the Lordship of Jesus in order to receive his blessings. Every person must obey his commands. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not after the sales are done. Today is our day of salvation. Today is your day of blessing, hope, and life in Jesus Christ. Live it to the fullest for Jesus, your Lord and Savior, today. The fourth point. The angel's message was timeless, timeless. He's a Savior for all. He wasn't just the Savior for the first century. He wasn't just the Savior for the nation of Israel. He's a Savior for all people. People have needed a Savior ever since the first humans, Adam and Eve. Disobedience of God has infected how many people? All of us. Every person. The Old Testament documents how sin influenced even the most righteous, resulting in pain, injustice, all types of corruption, suffering, and eventually death. And how many people suffer death? The scripture only records two individuals who did not suffer death. All of the vile perversions of God's plan require a perfect Savior. And the Savior himself came to suffer what? Death. So he could conquer it, so we might have life. God's chosen nation, Israel, was suffering from their sin. In spite of God's repeated blessings, their continued rebellion resulted in God withdrawing his protection. As the prophet Daniel prophesied, now we have the Romans ruling in our first century account of the book of Luke, but God's king has come. The eternal king has come. The king who reigns forever has come, and he is changing history. Nations continue struggling for influence and power today. How much good has the United Nations done in brokering and ensuring that everybody has peace all the time? They haven't succeeded, have they? The United Nations is not our savior. They are failures because they are composed of people. Jesus is the only real source of peace by transforming evil hearts and attitudes of those who love him. There can only be one Savior of all that provides for all people who have a true need. And his name is Jesus, born in a stable, laying in a manger, some 2,000 years ago. Born to a carpenter named Joseph and a young virgin named Mary. Jesus came from heaven in fulfillment of all of God's prophecy for the purpose of saving all believers of God, saving us from our sin. We can join with the heavenly host in saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. We're short that phrase on our banner. With whom he is pleased. You want peace? Please God. Serve God. Do it his way. He's the one who created you to begin with. Robert C. Shannon is the preacher who originally wrote this sermon before I massacred it and rewrote it and put it in different form. He was a great preacher from the past century. He said this, quote, "It is not enough just to listen to the announcement, even if we listen attentively and reverently. We must respond to the angelic announcement." You have to respond. Now, a lot of people are responding. They are saying, I don't care. I want to do it my way. And the sad thing is, they're going to reap the results. More chaos, more confusion, more dissatisfaction, unrest, and eternal death. But if we do it God's way, if we accept his invitation, we can have eternal life. And we are blessed with that life starting as soon as we give our life to the Lord. Jesus said before his death, burial, and resurrection, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Jesus is coming back. And those of us who love him will celebrate his coming. Scripture says those who have not given their life to the Lord will try to find some place to hide, and they won't be able to find any place to hide. Let's share the good news of Jesus with the people around us. Let's live the life Jesus calls us to. We have been given the message of good news for all people. It's a message that Jesus is God's promised Savior. He's born to keep God's promise. He's conquered death. Even though he went through a horrible death, we remember it through the Lord's Supper. But he's alive, and he's coming again. And that is good news for the Duke City and for everybody else. Amen? God has given us so much, so many blessings, and so much help day by day when we walk with him according to his plan. And we have the blessing of being able to serve God every day by his standards, by his guidelines. We encourage you to give your life to the Lord each and every day, each and every message. I hope that you don't take it harsh that I'm preaching because you're such a terrible person. Many of you have given your life to the Lord for years and years and are devoted. Keep up. If you're struggling with your faith, let us encourage you. Help us to walk with each other on the road to heaven.